following messages from New Life Gillette Series Together. This week, Pastor Paul brings us part four of this series.
It is good to be with all of you here this morning as we continue the journey of Together. And as we jump into today, I'm wondering if there's anybody old enough in the room to remember a commercial that I remember as a teenager. Check this out.
Sometimes I dream that he is me. Got to see that's how I dream to be.
Be like Mike, right? Yeah. I mean, anybody old enough to remember that? Anybody have the same mission that came out of that commercial? Like some of us did. You know, for Mike Wilson, this was not about you. It's about the great Michael Jordan, debatably the greatest basketball player ever. But, you know, it was a commercial back in 1992 that Gatorade put together that helped some of us who were already on this mission to become a great basketball player. And today we're going to be talking about this thing called mission, of how do we have this mission in life that can guide us and lead us. And we're going to look at the certain area that we've been talking about here. What is that area? Well, before we get there, good morning to all of you. It is good to be with all of you. Good morning to those of you who are watching online. It is great to be with you as well, whether you're at home or out camping and checking out from there. And welcome to all of you over at the prison. It is great to be with you here this morning as well. We are in the fourth week, the last week of our Together journey. We spent the last three weeks, and today as well, using our old VCR and DVD player buttons to help us look at this thing of marriage and how can we get better together in our marriages. The first week, Pastor Mike pushed the power button, and he helped us all figure out that we need to be moving forward with power in our marriages, supporting one another and spotting one another when we're going through those tough days. And then the second week, he pushed the play button, helping us to all know that, you know, marriages, although some days there's tough days, we need to learn to have fun in our marriages. We need to play in our marriages and help them to be more fun together. And then he pushed the pause button last week because there's those moments, and I know that none of you have experienced this, but sometimes there's conflict in marriages. Okay, we've all experienced it. And so he helped us understand when we're not seeing eye to eye, how do we push the pause button and a process to help us work through that conflict as we fight fairly together. Today, as we continue on our journey through Together, we are going to be pushing the fast forward button. As we look forward into the years ahead, whether you're already married, whether you've been married for many, many years, or whether you're just starting that journey of getting ready to get married, we're pushing the fast forward button to saying, how do we figure out moving forward? What do we focus on for our marriages? And so as we do that, again, we have a question. And here's the question we're going to focus on today. What is the mission that guides your marriage? Have you ever thought of it that way before? A mission that guides your marriage. Again, a mission can be so powerfully important in our lives in different parts of our life. For instance, again, back when I was a teenager, you know, I wanted to be like Mike. I watched Michael Jordan and the Bulls, and I just loved that goal of mission of being a great basketball player. And so that mission guided me. I was at the courts daily practicing, playing hoops with the guys, and trying to get my game up to the level of Michael Jordan. Well, as all of you can notice, I had some obstacles, and my athletic ability is certainly not there. And so I had to figure out another mission. But we have these missions in life that guide us, that cause us to think a certain way and act a certain way. For instance, we here at New Life, we have a mission statement. You see it every Sunday when you walk through the auditorium. We, as the leaders of this church, we want to invite all people to come as they are and become who they are created to be. That is our mission here at New Life. Therefore, Mike and the local board of administration and the staff and all the other leaders, That's our foundation. All of our ministries, all of our worship services on Sunday morning, how we do life groups, how we reach out in the community, it starts with that mission. Everything comes back to that mission. It guides how we move in life. A mission can be so important no matter whether you're graduating from high school and figuring out what to do moving forward, or whether you're figuring out how to do your marriage. So what is the mission that guides your marriage? Today, we're going to be spending time talking about that as we push that fast forward button. And as we look forward, either for those of you who are not married yet, if you're trying to figure out what that should look like, we're going to look at that, of what you should be looking for in that mission. And then also for those of us who are married, as we move forward to the years ahead, what mission should guide us if we're followers of Christ? So the Apostle Paul is going to help us do this. We're going to look at a passage that Mike looked at the first part of chapter 2 of Philippians last week. We're going to look at the second half of that same chapter here this morning. The Apostle Paul starts us off like this. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. All right, well, what's the instructions? He says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. So we need to break this down a little bit and figure out how this can play out in us and giving us a mission, maybe a mission statement that can guide us as an individual in life, but then also as we come together in marriage, how can it be a mission that guides us into that marriage? And so as we look at this, Paul shares this first, this phrase that we're going to go with as our foundation. He says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. That's going to be our verse that we're going to start with, that we're going to have foundation to move us forward. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. So what is he meaning by this as we look at this? The first thing we have to realize is what this is not saying. When Paul makes this statement, he is not saying something. He is not saying that you should work hard to get, to obtain, or to earn your salvation. He is not saying that. It's not in there. It's not even thought in there by Paul. Because Paul is wanting us to understand that we are saved only because of the work that Jesus has already done for us. My sin has separated me from God. My sin deserves nothing but death, eternal death from God. But Jesus, because of his love for me, took my place in that death and died on the cross in my place. So Jesus took my sin, separated it from me as far as the east is from the west, and gave me this opportunity to move from death into a new life with Christ eternal. It's an eternal gift that God gives to us. There's nothing that we can do to work hard to get it. It's simply having our faith in Jesus already doing it for us. So again, Jesus takes my sin and cleans me up by dying on the cross in my place. But this is where Paul wants us to go with this. He wants us to understand, I'm not finished yet. I'm not perfect yet, not perfectly holy. Well, let me check and make sure. Karen, wife, am I perfectly holy yet? No. Well, if anybody knows, she knows. Okay, so I'm not. I've got a journey ahead of me. So Paul says we need to work hard to show the results of our salvation that Jesus brought our way. And what he's saying with that is we need to collaborate. We need to work along with God in surrendering those areas of my life that I like to control and do things my own way, so that the Holy Spirit can change and transform them to make me more into the image of Jesus. It's what we in the church call the process of sanctification. It's the process of the Holy Spirit changing me and making me more and more new, more and more holy, more and more into the image of Christ. I'm not there yet. I'm on this journey of Jesus giving me more and more of a blessed life. And so we work hard to show the results of our salvation. And we, from that, we should realize that there's a great life in front of us. And because of that, the realizing there's so much better in front of us, we should all have a little bit of FOMO. Anybody know what FOMO is? It's not a new disease that's going through the area. It's not something like that. FOMO is something. My son Daniel, seven years old, he's got a lot of FOMO. My dog has some serious FOMO. FOMO is the fear of missing out. If my wife and big kids are in the kitchen and something exciting happens and Daniel and Jesse, my dog, are back in the bedroom, if they hear something exciting, it's like a stampede of them getting to the room wherever the excitement is. They have this fear of missing out on something exciting. Paul says it this way, that we should be obeying God with deep reverence and fear. What is he meaning by this? Well, we should see that God, not just because God is the Almighty God, that is certainly part of it, but also as we see the potential for an even more and more blessed life that God has available for us, we should have the FOMO, the fear of missing out at what God has in store for us. And therefore, we should work hard at continuing on that journey of seeking Christ, of knowing Christ, of getting as far close and close to Christ as I can. That's the journey, the mission that we are on of getting as close as I can to Christ. And so for anybody who gets a little complacent, I want you to think about this. If you become content or complacent on your journey with Jesus, you will miss out on an even better life and marriage. Let me say that again. If you become content, satisfied, or complacent on your journey with Jesus, if you just start going through the motions and you stop seeking after Christ and surrendering to Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to change you, you will miss out on an even better life and marriage. That's FOMO, chasing after God because you fear that you're going to miss out on that greater life. You know, one of the greatest things of this journey that we're on, though, that we're not on it by ourselves. This mission that we find ourselves on, we're not alone, but instead we do what we call collaborate with God. Paul says it this way. He says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." God is working in you. That's that Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that as you say yes to Christ, as you place your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes in you to keep giving you the desire and the power. What does that desire thing look like? Well, I think most of us here have a good friend, don't we? That friend that you just are always blessed by. They're always kind. They're always encouraging you. They're never doing those nasty things to you, talking behind your back, lying to you. They're just always that great friend that you just long to be with. You know who I'm talking about. You have them on your mind right now. Now, because they're such a good friend, do you enjoy being with them? Well, duh, of course you do. Well, if you have a Savior who is always letting you know that you are loved unconditionally. If you have a Savior who has done everything to give you an eternal blessed life, if you have a Savior who is always wanting to help you to find the better way to live life and to do life, don't you want to keep having that desire to come to them? Of course we want to keep coming to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job of convicting us and making us aware over and over again that we can keep chasing after Jesus. And then there's the power. The power Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him." This is the same mighty power that what? That raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Did you hear that? That's the Holy Spirit power that you have in your heart, in your life, that is helping you, stirring you, making you more and more holy in your journey with Christ. The same power that took the dead body of Jesus and raised him into that eternal life is the same power that takes your life and gives you more and more joy in the midst of your journey. Jesus collaborates with us, walks the journey with us of making us more and more new, more and more different, more and more holy. So we work hard to carry out that mission. But how does that then, if that's our individual missions, because each of us, if you are in Christ, that's your individual mission. But what if we bring that now into our relationships? How do we take that mission that Paul has for us, and if as we come together in one flesh, how does that move forward? Well, first of all, let me speak to you in the room that are presently single and hoping to not be single in the future. Let's first think about you. What should you be looking for if this is your mission? Well, how about this? Your eternal life mission of working hard in response to Jesus should stir you to be looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend who has the same mission. Let me say that again. Your eternal life mission of working hard in response to Jesus, that eternal life focus, should stir you to be looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend who has that same mission. What are you looking for? Whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, an older adult, if you're looking for someone, who are you looking for and why? What has your mission helped you to figure out to look for? You know, I think back when Karen and I, before we were married, you know, and we were looking. I was looking. I know I was. I'm just thankful that I didn't find a girl who was willing to marry me until after I figured this thing out. Because in my college years, in my early 20s, I was just looking for a hot girl. Yeah, I was. I was looking for a hot girl. My standards were low. I just wanted that girl that just made me go hubba hubba. But praise God, I didn't find her right away. But eventually, as I understood this life mission and how I should be looking for an individual, a woman who also had that same life mission, it was more exciting for me. My standards rose. And so then as I came to hear a little bit about this girl named Karen, some mutual friends started telling me about her, and I learned that she had a mission just like mine because both of our standards were higher. And then all of a sudden when I got to meet her, well, let me just say, I don't wear this shirt for nothing, the property of a hot wife. You know, she was hot. She hasn't changed. She's still hot. That's my point of view. No one else is allowed to have that point of view. It's just me. But she had a smile that lit up the room, and I was excited because here's a woman that not only is she attractive to me, but also she has this life mission. Her standards were up there too, that now we could come together on this same life mission that could move us forward, fast forwarding into a marriage that could find the blessings of God. What about you if you're single? What are you looking for? What are your standards? What are you set at? Are you just looking for the beefcake of a guy or the hot girl? I invite you to flip that on its head and say, I'm not saying that God doesn't give us this physical attraction desire to look for someone who's attractive to us, but bigger than that, so much bigger than that, look for someone who has that same mission, that's showing the evidence that they're on this mission of living their life in response to what Jesus has already done for them. I guarantee, based on my 20 years of walking with couples, I guarantee that one thing, more than anything else, will give you a better opportunity of having a blessed marriage. But what about for those of us who already are married? Or maybe you're just getting ready to get married. And I know I have four couples that I'm marrying in the next 2 months, so that you better be in the room. That's all I can say. Because we need to be talking, how does our mission for marriage stir us to move forward into the years that are ahead? So we're going to think about it this way. We're going to work hard to show the results of our salvation. So it's that same life mission for us as individuals, but we're going to now look at it in our marriage. As we come together and become one flesh, how does that mission of working hard in response to what Jesus has done for us, how does that play out in how we live our lives? Paul's going to share some different things here as we flesh out the rest of this text to give us some understanding of what that can look like. Number one, he shares with us is we need to have a lot of levels of selflessness. You know, Paul shared this, Mike looked at this passage earlier in Philippians last week, where he shares this understanding that we need to consider others. If we're connected to Jesus, if we've experienced Jesus' love, we need to consider others more important than ourselves. We need to get rid of the selfishness. In this passage, Paul says it this way, 14 and 15, he says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Are there any marriages in the room that have never had any levels of complaining or arguing? Yeah, mine either. You know, we have that. Paul says, but this should not be a natural part of who we are in Christ. And as Paul writes this, for those who are reading it, instantly, Paul's sharing an image that takes them all the way back to the stories that we were looking at before we started in our together. Those stories of Moses and Joshua, as those two leaders were taking the people of Israel out of Egypt and leading them towards the promised land. Do you remember how those people in the wilderness, how they acted? Remember some of the things that they did with God? God, it's taking too long. God, I'm thirsty. I need something to drink. God, I need some food. Okay, God, you gave me food, but this food is boring. I want something better. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. They kept having this attitude, even though God was providing for them and caring for them all along their journey, they kept having this attitude of selfishness, saying, give me more, give me more, give me more. Paul says, if that's the attitude that we take into life, let alone our marriages, we will not understand the full blessings of God in the midst of our journey. But instead, we need to have these levels of selflessness, because we're going to respond to the sacrificial, selfless love of Christ that has come down to us, paid the price for us, and that sacrificial love is going to play out then in how we live our lives. If I go into my marriage with Karen with just constant selfishness, we're not going to understand the blessings. But instead, if we practice selflessness, it changes everything. Secondly, Paul says this, we need to be singularly focused on our mission, both as individuals and in our marriages, in the midst of a world that's a little polluted. He says it this way. He says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God. He shares this understanding of purity, of being singularly focused on the mission that's in front of us. And let's face it, we live in a very distracted, polluted world, don't we? I mean, you think about how couples, how we go out on dates sometimes. We go out, and even though we're supposed to be focused, God first, the person in front of us second, we are so often distracted. We sit there in a restaurant, and instead of sharing the love of Christ across the table with us, instead we're seeing what everybody else is doing and what the news is out there. We become distracted and polluted by all of these other things in our lives that keep us from being focused on the one in front of us. You know, Jesus was asked, what's the two greatest commandments? And he says, love God. That's first, obviously. Secondly, allow that love for God to encourage you to love others. But who is the primary other that I should love? It's not Lyle, it's not you. Sorry, dude. Andrew, my son, it's not you. It's got to be Karen. It's got to be my wife. She's number one. That the love that I learn from God, singularly focused upon God, it stirs me to love that one that's in front of me, that one that I've given my life to, that I've said I do to, loving her as much. You know, sometimes in my counseling over the years, I've done this activity with couples. I have them sit down and I have them face each other and I say, I want you to answer this question for each other. What is that one thing or maybe multiple things that you want more of or less of in your relationship? And think about that for a second. In your own relationship with your spouse, what is the one thing that you want more of or less of in your relationship? And you know the number one thing that I hear them say to each other? I just want more of you. Because of all those things that distract you and keep you from truly being with me, I just want more of you. Paul says we need to be pure. We need to be singularly focused first on God and then secondly on that person that's in front of us to realize the blessings we can find. Number three, Paul says our lives and our marriages become a witness for Jesus. Our lives and our marriages need to become a witness for Jesus. Paul says it this way. He says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights. I love this imagery that he shares here. Shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. There's a lot of darkness in this world, isn't there? I mean, there's a lot of this going on around our world right now, right? Crooked, perverse people that are just going at each other. Paul says, let your lives, if you are working hard to show the results of your salvation, if you are working hard in response to Jesus, your lives and your marriages should demonstrate bright light shining like stars in the world around you. What does that look like? Well, I've known a lot of great marriages over my days. And to see some of those marriages and how they shine bright. For instance, I have some good friends from a few years ago. Their names are Gene and Esther. This is them just a couple years ago that just recently they celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary. Now, when I first met them, it was way back before they were even married. We were all working together. As before, as a pastor, I was working in an engineering firm. And I watched them start to get to know each other, start to recognize that they were attracted to each other. And to watch them, though, to see their lives play out, it is so exciting. I mean, Gene is about 20 years older than Esther, but Esther, when she started to be cherished and adored by Gene, she didn't care. She did. I heard her say over and over, "That's my man," and that's how she said it. It was so cool to hear that, of how she just adored her hubby. The cool thing was that they were both Christians before they came together. They both had that life mission. And how they lived that out came together. Like Gene, for instance, Gene was an amazing man. I love Gene. He would do well here in Wyoming because he had a work ethic that was just way up there, just like so many of you. And he loved the outdoors, loved to hunt, loved to fish, but he also loved serving others. He loved in the life of the church or in the community, whether it's working alongside teens, going out and doing work projects with his pastor to help somebody who was in need, coaching baseball in the community and helping them to become better young men and women. Gene just loved serving others. He allowed that life mission to play out in how he lived for Christ. Esther was the same way, except for Esther did her work in the kitchen. She was an extraordinary cook. She still is. She started her own business, Esther's Country Kitchen, and she just loved serving others and caring through others through her work. And I know how good her food is. She served all the food at Karen's and my wedding. It was phenomenal. But the cool thing was to see how each of their life missions of working hard in response to what Jesus did for them, that when they came together to see how their marriage began shining like stars in the universe, how they began to bear witness to others outside what Jesus looks like because of their marriage. For instance, Gene, even though he does not do kitchen stuff, he's not a great cook, but because his wife loved being in the kitchen, guess where Gene regularly was found? Standing alongside his wife. Now, he would go out into the orchards and pick fruit and vegetables so that Esther could cook them up. He would stir things. He would build shells for her. He would deliver things, as he's doing here, the food that she was taking out to others. And he did it not because he liked necessarily doing that work. He did it because that's what Esther needed to do. And he was willing to be her alongside of her and supporting her in what she had going on. And with Gene, when he had work to do, Gene was regularly out at his local hunting camp, and because he was the caretaker there. And when he had work to do, even though Esther didn't always enjoy being in the outdoors, because her man was in the outdoors doing work, guess where you'd find her? She'd rather be in the kitchen, but there she was, serving alongside of her husband. You see, the two of them, because they received and recognized the sacrificial love that Jesus had for them, they allowed that love to permeate each other's lives. And their marriage, how they served each other, how they worked, how they raised their daughter Cindy, you began to see the evidence of Christ in their lives as they lived out that mission of shining like stars of Jesus in the universe. You know, that's how Karen and I want to be. We see all these other couples in front of us who have lived that life of mission, and that's how Karen and I want to be. I mean, for me as an individual, you know, I long for that day, and hopefully many of you do as well. I long for that day that whenever that is, that I see Jesus face to face. Whenever I pass from this life into there, I long when I see Jesus face to face. There's that famous line, it goes like this, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Man, how I long to hear that because of how I lived my mission in this life. But you know, there's something I want even more than this. You know what I want more than this? As much as I want Jesus to say those words to me, I want to hear him say them to Karen at an even much higher level than I could ever dream of experiencing them myself. I want Karen to be such an advocate for Christ in this day. I want to support her and love her and encourage her and lift her up so that more and more people get to know Jesus because of her life than anything else. I want my kids to best get to know Jesus because of Karen. I want you, especially you ladies, because she's the women's pastor, to best get to know Jesus because of what she shares with you. My life, yeah, I want to hear these words, but I want my wife, and I'm willing to do whatever sacrificially I have to do to get her to even be in a better place of that, because that's what I do. But the cool thing, guess what she wants for me? She wants the same thing. You see, we ping pong back and forth. You know, like for instance, in our ministries, she is the women's pastor. She does a lot of women's things. Now, don't get me wrong, I will never go to a women's event because you girls cry too much at those things. But I want to encourage my wife. I want to support my wife. I want to pray for my wife. And I want, you know, if I have to watch Daniel some extra hours so that she has the time to prepare, I'm going to do that. And same thing with me, with my men's life groups. She's not going to show up. She's not invited because we do Jesus talk there. But I want her to be praying for me, and she will. And she's going to bake things for me to take to the guys because we like to eat. You see, we live life together, supporting one another in our mission and our ministry. And we do things together as well. You know, we lead a life group together, and we love doing that. And we love that there's other couples in this church who love doing that same thing. You serve Christ by being life group leaders and sharing your life, your witness of Christ with those around you in your life group. And whether it's life group, whether it's us serving at Blessings in the Backpack or other places, we love allowing the mission individually as we come together to play out and how. And so what about you? In your marriages, how are you bearing witness to what Christ has done for you? How are you working hard to show the results of your salvation by how the two of you together are living out your life of Christ? Maybe you're called in this semester coming up to be life group leaders, to take that step of sharing your life with others in how you lead that way. Paul shares what other things. He says, we need to be getting into word together. We need to be getting into the word together. He says it this way. He says, go ahead, John. He says, hold firmly to the word of life. What is he talking about? He's talking about the scriptures. He's talking about the word of God, the gospel. He's saying, you need to be regularly chasing after God and learning his heart by digging into the word of God. And there's so many ways that you as a couple can do that. For some of you, you're doing it right now. You're here at worship. You're digging into the word of God together and seeking his heart here. For some of you, you're in life groups together and you share in that together. For some of you, you drive down the road and you listen to a Christian radio station and you dig into the word together. And I have another great opportunity for you, because another place that we should be doing this is in our homes, sharing devotion time, scripture and prayer together. And I have an opportunity for you. It's a book. It's called Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. It's a devotional. So 52 weeks, one time a week, you get together. And I know you're saying, but wait a second, I'm already married. That's okay. This is not just for couples who are going to get married. This is actually, it's a highly recommended devotional that you share together, even after you're married together. If you've been married for 40 years, it's a great devotional that helps you dig into the word of God and helps you to see how does it apply to the areas of marriage, like raising children and communication and conflict resolution. Now, here's why I present this to you. Right now at Christianbook.com has this book on sale for $5. Don't let it get out, because if too many people buy it, then you might not get the opportunity to get it. It's on sale right now for $5 for 52 weeks. It is one of the best devotionals that I have seen at helping a couple come together and learn the word of life in the area of their marriage. We all need to have this mission in life that guides us as individuals and also our marriages. The mission of working hard to show the results of the salvation that Jesus has already done for us should stir us, should guide us in each of our decisions each day. And as we look into our marriage, how does that mission guide your marriage? Paul says, if you do this, if you live out this mission in the midst of your marriage, what's going to be the result? He says it this way. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. He just wants to pour his life out to help all of you know this mission for life. But just like your faithful service, your working hard in response to Jesus is an offering to God as well. You're offering back to God just that joy. And what comes out of that? And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Paul says that if you live this life of mission, responding to what Jesus has first done for us, if you live then on the mission of working hard in response to show the results of what God is doing in your life, Paul says you will have so much joy in your life, you won't ever know how much joy you have. Sounds good, doesn't it? You know, we all have different missions in life that guide and lead us. There are some missions like me becoming Michael Jordan, just not going to go very far. But there is one mission. The mission of responding to what Jesus first did to us, that if we apply that into our lives and also, yes, our marriages, as we fast forward into the days and years ahead, Paul says, I share. It will change and transform your life, and the abundant joy of God will bless you. What's your mission? God, I thank you for what you first did for us, that you looked at us and said, no matter how rough around the edges our lives looked, that you were willing to give your life for us. You paid the price that our sin deserved, and out of that, you give us new life. But Jesus, as you're not finished with us yet, Holy Spirit of God, may you continue to work in our hearts, collaborating with us, helping us to see this mission for life as you stir us, as you help us this desire, as you give us the power to transform and change us so that our marriages can be more and more reflective of your grace and your love. God, we're not there yet, but here we are crying out to you saying, God, help. May you bless the marriages of this congregation. We pray these things in your holy name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.